Well, good morning, Mission family and those watching around the world. Welcome to the Mission. I have with me Sarah Kamez. And Sarah is starting this next week as our junior high pastor. We're real thrilled that you are willing to take the risk and do this. You've been around the church for a while. You've been part of the church for a while. So what are some of the other things you've been doing?
I got to turn this on, don't I?
Okay, there I am. So I have run the media department. Well, I've actually been at the Mission for 9 years now, going on 10 years. And I started on staff 2 days after I moved here. So been in the media department. I run our media department here now and our different graphics and stuff like that. And also our Rio Cafe.
Yeah, so you keep busy.
Sure. Never a dull moment.
We just wanted to add one more thing.
Love it. Yeah,
we're so excited about you doing this because you were like the Pied Piper of junior high kids. And what is it about you that just, you know, it attracts them?
Honestly, I think it's because I'm a kid myself, really. I like, you know, funny jokes, and I try to hold myself in that childlike faith consistently. And I talk to them like they're my peers. I don't talk to them like they're younger than me or like they don't, you know, like they can't hold a conversation with me.
Yeah, well, they sure relate to you, and it's fun to watch all of that. So this is an interesting time.
It is.
You're going to be starting this week with junior high. It's going to be like a soft start, right? Because everybody's in their homes and can't really get together. Yeah. But you've got things planned for them online and that kind of thing. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, actually, our youth group has been doing Instagram and YouTube Live. We decided not to do Facebook because a lot of those kids don't use Facebook. And they're like, that's for old people, which offends me. And I had to get over that real quick. But so we're trying to reach them where they're at. We're doing TikToks. We're doing all sorts of really cool things for them. And then tonight at 6 p.m., we have a Zoom with a special guest, Joe Pony, for our youth group.
Yeah, well, that reminds me of all the different things we have available that you can get online, youth, junior high, children, adults, all those places that you can connect with. So you want to look at iMissionChurch.com and get the information there.
Yep.
And that would be great. Mm-hmm. Now, as you finish up here this morning, what would you say to junior high parents right now?
Well, to junior high parents right now, I would say just above everything else, I am so excited to be pastoring your kids this coming year and in the years to come. I love this transitionary stage of going from elementary into high school. And I love that we can catch them at a time where we can really instill a grace for purity, a grace for chasing after God for their own individual self. And in this time, I encourage you just to get on those Zooms. We have a Zoom Bible study on Fridays for our youth. And just get them around people who you love and trust. And parents, if you have any questions for me, I'm totally open. You can catch me on Facebook or Instagram or wherever. Happy to, or email me, skamez@imissionchurch.com. Happy to chat with you, with any of you.
Well, we're excited.
Yeah,
it's going to be a great time.
It should be fun.
We're excited about what God's going to do through you and through these people. So listen, if you're parents out there of junior high kids, make sure and be praying for this young lady. She's going to need it, as you know. And encourage your young people to get involved in the various things. And then when we get through this pandemic and can gather again, you know, get your kids out here to Wednesday nights and the other events that are going to be set, especially for junior high. So you're going to love it. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Dave.
We love you.
Love you.
I'd hug you, but we can't do that.
No, we can't.
Just a virtual high five. There we go.
I did it. Whoops.
Violation.
Oh, hey, Rio Cafe is going to be open on Wednesday, so look out for that.
Oh, okay. Great.
Goodbye.
Now I'd like to invite Dan and Matt and Ryan to come on up on the stage with me, and we'll have a little chat this morning. Now, listen, while you're getting ready for this, you know, you can send in questions during this time. You can send in prayer requests, and we'll pass those prayer requests on to our prayer warriors. We just want to minister to you anyway. We know how to do that, and so if you will do that, we'd appreciate it. But continue to send questions, comments, and we'll try to field all of that in this portion right now. So, why don't you join us? Good morning, men.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Well, it's a good day in the kingdom, huh?
It is.
Yeah, interesting time for sure. That makes you wonder what's going to happen next, huh? I mean, there are so many uncertain things in our world today, aren't there, that we have to deal with. And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in terms of timing. Every day it seems like something new. Wear masks, don't wear masks. You know, you can go to this store, but you can't go to that store. You know, it just gets kind of chaotic. And at the same time, for me, sometimes I feel like Bill Murray, you know, in Groundhog Day. It's like you wake up and it started all over again, you know.
Yeah. It's, what day is it?
What day is it, exactly?
What's the date?
Yeah. What? Yeah. I don't even wear a watch anymore. I'm a watch guy.
You are a watch guy.
And I haven't worn a watch since this thing started.
Wow.
And so freedom, you know, or I don't know what that is exactly.
That's something.
Yeah. But it's a crazy kind of time. And I really appreciate you guys joining in this morning so we can kind of help people get through this uncertain time.
Yeah.
And go forward.
Yeah.
This is really our time to advance and not step back. So why don't we start by you guys just kind of giving us a little bit of just what your life looks like right now in the middle of this and how your family's doing, and we can just let the family, mission family, get to know you guys a little bit and what you're going through.
Yeah, I mean, we've been, you know, obviously at home with four kids, and our kids range from, we have a pre-kindergartner to a junior in high school. So we went from having freedom until 3 o'clock in the afternoon to now having four kids in our house all day long. And so it's been interesting, you know, doing school from home, homeschooling. So we've been thrust into being homeschoolers. And me and my wife love our kids, but we love that they go to school too. So, So it's been a little bit of a challenge, but they've been good. But
and they love that they go to school,
and they love
sometimes.
Yes, and they love.
They're loving it more now.
Yes, they are can't wait to get back to school. So, but you know, so it's been a little challenge. But we do this Friday. Colleen Gerardo is going to do a Facebook Live on our mission page. She's been doing homeschool for I think almost 30 years, and she's going.
I'm sure she'll appreciate you saying that.
What? It's almost true.
It is true. And she still has kids in homeschool.
Doesn't sound that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Colleen, we love you.
We do. You're amazing.
You're amazing. And you have amazing kids. So she's going to jump on Facebook with some of her homeschool parents that have been doing this for a good amount of time. And just give some helpful tips and stuff for the families.
She's
that
got incredible wisdom.
Yes. She has great wisdom in this. Just to help those parents that are now homeschooler parents that never thought they would be, just to kind of help out. So she'll be on Facebook Live on our mission page on Friday afternoon. So you want to jump on. I think it's 2 o'clock. And just, if anything, it'll be fun just to hear some of the stories.
Yeah.
So jump on Facebook. That'll be really helpful. But for us, it's been fun to spend time with our kids. We've been doing a ton of projects around the house because we're putting our house on the market this next week so we can get into a bigger house so we don't have three boys in one room. So yeah. We've been doing a lot of projects and just kind of working at that and trying not to kill each other.
I feel your pain on those house projects.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, you've been in the middle of a house project for 30 years.
Right. It feels like that. Totally. Yep. Well, I feel like I've been busier than ever. Mm-hmm. Part of it is because, of course, I travel for a living. That's what I do. And so learning how to adapt that to the online community and the learning curve on all that technology and stuff's really, really good. Yeah. I mean, it's really good to learn. I had a word from Sean Bowles 2 years ago that Big Ben had been stopped and had been totally retooled, that there was going to be a stop in my life where I was to spend the time retooling and revamping my curriculums and all those kind of things. And if this isn't that, you know, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Sean, you know what I mean?
For sure.
So I've been trying to just align myself with that word and really tweak curriculums and improve our online programs and our online presence. And been working hard every day. Regina is loving the shelter at home, actually, shelter in place. She's like, I just get to stay home every day. She's working really hard, too. We still have a teenager at home as well, so yeah. She's doing homeschool with her. But and then she does tons of admin and office stuff for the two nonprofits that we run. So she's really busy, but she's loving being home. And, you know, I'm loving being home. This is the longest I've been home in 20 years.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So so not 30, but 20?
No, I don't mind about my age. I'm happy to share my age. It's a lady thing.
I didn't
thing.
Say what her age was.
I think people could do the math.
Yeah. Well, Dan, you said something interesting. You talked about the retooling that's happening right now. You know, in Renewal, I used to say that he disoriented us to reorient us. And I think this is another time that's happening with everybody.
Certainly. Yeah. Certainly. Yeah. I feel like in, you know, 94, when the Toronto Blessing broke out and all that, hit so many churches, Toronto and Pensacola and Smithton, Missouri, and different kind of revival centers. Mm-hmm. One of the things that it did is it undid normal. So that there was an opportunity to rewrite what everything looked like.
Yeah.
What it reshaped our identity. It reshaped how we did church. It reshaped how we saw the kingdom. And I do believe that this is another reset.
Yeah.
You know, that I think even asking when are things going to get back to normal is the wrong question. Because the Lord has given us an opportunity to Sabbath and to reset and to reinvent.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Good. Yeah, we're finding that to be true. Matt.
Hey, guys. We also want to know where you are watching in from. So in the comments, will you let us know where you're watching this live from? And also, we're going to be doing some questions, which we actually had our first text question. I just got a text from a guy named Joy Festy.
Oh, Joy,
he wanted to know which one of us is God's favorite. So which one of us is God's favorite. So I don't know how we want to answer that, but
all depends on whose eyes you're looking through. Through mine, it's me. Through mine,
that's
it's
better
me.
Than my answer.
Oh, love you, Joey.
Yeah.
You know, for us, you know, it's been interesting because also we do some itinerant ministry and this time we have four kids and we see every morning that every one of us is on the Zoom call. It's just like it's Zoom crazy right now. And so, you know, we have the Zoom education going on in the mornings and it's been interesting because like our internet, I don't know if it can hold the capacity. Sometimes we're freezing and all that, but it's been an engagement. It's been fun. At the same time, I feel like it's been, you know, sometimes when the things that are very foundational, you know, the way we've been processing it is that right now is a time of shaking. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken so that way we could really find out. And for me, I've been going on a journey during this time. And what I've been journeying, asking God the question is that many times we carry things in concept, but we don't have it in substance. And so sometimes the concepts of what we take on in Western Christianity, we've just done this because that's the only way we've ever done it. We don't really know why we do it. It's been a concept, but that really has been a substance in your life. And when everything's put on pause, what rises to the occasion and what's really the substance and beliefs that I have? Because I really do believe this is what's happening. So for us personally, me and Des have engaged in some conversations like, what do we truly believe? What do we truly believe right now? And what do we truly believe in the concept of our family, our kids, you know? And so it's causing us to draw, you know, closer. At the same time, I think we've watched almost everything you can watch on Netflix at night because it's like, it's like, what? Yeah. There's not too many.
I love that meme that says, I finished Netflix, you know?
And so at the same time, we've been using it as a time to, you know, have some family dinners even more and just really times of connection. We also received a word from Sean Bowles about media.
It's Sean's fault.
Yeah. Here we go.
Blame the prophet.
He actually gave us a word about media. And so we started this whole journey. I've watched a lot of YouTube and a lot of different things just on media. And it just happens that this hits, and so we just had started getting into media at a greater extent. And so this has been a perfect time. We're doing a lot of media stuff and connecting with people that we've never connected with before. So it's been fun. I love being around people. So this is kind of hard for me.
Yeah, for people, persons.
Yeah, I'm not a homebody.
Extroverts, it's particularly hard.
I'm not a real homebody, so I like getting out. So it's been a little bit hard. At the same time, you know, I love what you said last week. I don't want to misquote you, but you said even though we're in social distance, we're not. How did you say that last week? It was so good.
Physical distance.
It's not social distancing. It's physical distancing. Yeah, that's something that's going around right now. Yeah,
I love that. So that
didn't originate with me. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But. Well, that's been good. Was it Shambles? We're having fun this morning. Come on, we're going to have some fun.
Hope you are too.
Yeah, the comments are saying you guys are having a blast. So, but that's, you know, in a nutshell, we're just using it to retool, revamp, and just kind of rethink things.
Yeah. And that's great. I kind of echo Dan's comment earlier that I feel busier now than I have before. It was just chaotic. Part of that is we're in the midst of selling our home and getting into a single story. So that adds to all of that. But, I mean, just the Zoom calls constantly around the world and with all of our friends everywhere. It's fun to be with them and to do all of that. But one of the things that I've, you know, kind of struggled with a little bit in this season is really waking up sometimes in the morning with that sense of, okay, what am I forgetting? Because we're so out of normal
routine,
you know. So what am I forgetting? Who do I need to contact? Yeah. I haven't seen so and so. How are they doing? You know, those kinds of things that are just part of it. I guess I relate to Paul's confession when he talked about, you know, he was in stripes. You know, he got beaten in rods, and he had all these things that were happening to him in his life, and all that. I don't relate to all of that,
right?
But I relate to the rest of it, where he says, in spite of all the other things that are going on daily in my life, it's my deep concern for the church.
Yeah. Right.
And I think, you know, we all of us on this stage right now have a real passion to fulfill our callings and our destinies. And in this season for me, it's figuring out how to carry that weight of that calling in the midst of not being able to actually touch people and be with people, you know, people even across the world that I'm probably in better contact with them now than I was before, because I could trust being with them at some point.
And I think that's one thing that's happening right now is we're learning new and different ways to connect.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people are feeling more connected rather than less connected because it's required intentionality to connect.
Yeah.
And there's something about that intentionality that I see here on Facebook that Craig Sloan is saying, what do you think the new normal is? Not going back, but going forward. And part of it is taking this intentionality with us to connect and to redefine. Yeah. And I think the new normal is supposed to look different for everybody. But take what you learn in a season. Take those growth points and apply the intentionality. Like when you have to do something. So right now you have to talk to your kids. You know what I mean? Like now you have to teach your children. And it's like, but the scripture commanded us to be doing that all along. And it's like, so you get to be kind of forced into that square, but now take that intentionality with you and carry it with you into the next season and don't trust the educational system alone to be training, but we need to own that, you know?
That's
and
good.
Then it's the same with relationships. Hey, the only way to connect is to reach out. The only way to connect is to be intentional. And it's like, if we could... All right, now we're forced into that, but if we could take that with us, you know, it's what Graham taught us. If you do by intention what you've done by intuition, you achieve acceleration.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And that's part of what we're looking for is how do we take what we're forced to in this season, the good parts, and how do we apply intentionality to that to accelerate and redefine, recreate, you know, reinvent ourselves for the next.
Yeah, I think when you have those ideas or how to, like, oh, I should connect with this person or I have this new creative idea. In the past, you're like, I don't really have time. You know, I'll do it when I get off work. But now we have the time. So I think it's about being intentional. When I get a thought of creativity or when I get a thought of connecting, just do it. Like, actually follow through with it and actually go for it and not... we do have the time now to do those things that before, sometimes you just didn't have the time. But now we can activate those thoughts and those creative thoughts that have come to head.
I so agree. And I think it's redefining our priorities. You know, what do we have time for, you know. you really have time for everything that's important to you. So it's really about redefining those primaries in your life. Yeah.
You know, I think also what I'm learning this season for the new normal, what people are saying, or what's new going to look like, is I think we're finding out the power of living in the moment. I think sometimes
I think sometimes we get
so busy that we fail to learn how to live in the moment. I know even for prophetic people, many times we're so future oriented.
Yeah.
We're looking at the future that sometimes we neglect living in the moment.
That's so true.
And so I think what I'm learning right now is how to live in the moment, that this is actually a really strength in a time of uncertainty. And then the other thing I think we can take away from the new normal is exactly what's happening right now. Everything that could be shaken is being shaken for a purpose. And the purpose is, one of the purposes, I believe, is that to find power in uncertainty. There's actually power that we can tap into in times of uncertainty.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
many times we see uncertainty yeah. as something coming against us rather than a launching pad for us. So
That's
how
so
do
good.
We how do we take yeah. uncertainty and find the power in it and not let it tear us down, rather be a time where we begin to think brilliantly, when we think outside mm-hmm. the box, mm-hmm. when we begin to ask the right questions. In times of uncertainty, I'm finding out me and my dialogue with the Lord is the wrong question to ask is the why question.
Yeah.
Why is this happening?
Right. Yeah.
I've been asking,
that's
okay, what?
That's usually the wrong question in any scenario.
Pretty much most of the time.
And, and so asking what am I supposed to do? What are you trying to show me? What are we supposed to do next? How are we, post a position? And so I think it's really asking the right questions right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think to get to that place, though, it really takes perspective.
Yep.
You really have to do. My father-in-law used to say, he had an interesting perspective on have-tos and get-tos.
Yeah.
So he would say, I have to go play golf, but I get to go to work. Well, he was just making a joke out of it, but it really taught me something about perspectives that help us position ourselves to receive from a moment the value that's in it, and be able to mine the gold out of that moment. So if we look at this situation, I have to go through this.
Yeah,
I have to make it through this is a wrong perspective that keeps us from being able to do what you're just saying, mine the gold out of this moment. But if we look at it and say, this is a get to for us, especially as believers, this is our opportunity to shine.
Yeah.
When others are going through really struggles and they can't make sense of it. As believers, we stand in a different place, and our perspective needs to be different. We need to look at this as a get to, and then we start looking for, okay, how can we make this time, this opportunity, pay for itself?
You know what I love, and it's something that you had put out just a couple weeks ago. People can go out and watch it on our YouTube channel and also on Facebook. Is that there's no need for hope unless there's uncertainty, because you don't really need hope unless there's uncertainty. And it's in times of uncertainty that hope becomes more real, that it becomes more of a foundation. And I think the light is, it's what Hebrews says, is that we have an anchor for our soul. We have a hope that's an anchor for our soul. And in times of uncertainty, you think the soul motions when everybody's, life is being rocked. And yet we have a hope in times of uncertainty. It's like we begin to shine. Yeah. Because if we're going through the same thing as our neighbors are going through, but yet they see peace, they see joy, they see things that the fruit of the Spirit, breakthroughs, they'll begin to ask questions.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we get good as a church on asking them questions rather than just demonstrating who we are in these times of uncertainty, that they get curious and, like Nicodemus, begin to ask questions.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think peace is another currency there.
Yeah.
Is that the peace that passes understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So good. You have pressure to have answers that nobody has, except the Lord in a way. And I think one of the things is, this is not just a script that's being played out. This is a opportunity to rewrite.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity to create. But having a peace that surpasses understanding will also be part of that currency in the midst of trouble. And so seeing this uncertainty as an invitation to enter into a new level of peace.
Yeah.
And then I share this a lot, but I mean, I love this Einstein quote that says that a problem can't be solved with the same mindset that created it.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that uncertainty gives us the opportunity to do is it shifts us out of our mindsets so that we have the opportunity to discover new solutions and new ideas and creativity.
Yeah.
And, there's kind of two polar opposites in our congregation right now. There's people like Chris, who is the keyboard player today, that's working so hard in the medical field. And,
that's right.
And they're putting in extra hours and living under the stress of being exposed to this virus and serving people in that capacity every single day. Yeah. And so there's those folks, too, that are also working harder than ever before, and they're wondering about, hey, how is this affecting my family?
Yeah.
And then living with that sense of everybody else is home, and I'm out, you know, just burning the candle on both ends kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's really interesting, the polar dynamics that are here in our culture right now.
Yeah. And I think that, go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, just it is you have such extreme sides to how people react, and I think as us as believers, we have to be the ones that are carrying peace.
That's right.
You know, and one way for me personally that I've, like, when I go out and have to wait in line to get into the store, and I can only go one way down an aisle, and I can get, as my kids like to say, Dad, I can get a little frustrated. And for myself, if I to get kind of hope through that is just to be thankful for something.
Totally.
Oh, is find
such
something.
A first world problem.
Yes. Yeah. It's just find something to be thankful for.
Yeah.
And part of it, what I do is just make sure and be really kind and really generous to the people that are working in those stores.
Yeah.
Just make sure and look them in the eye, say hello, how are your day, how are you doing? You know, and it just kind of helps me from being disgruntled and, you know, grouchy because I have to wait in the line. But just be thankful for the people that are out there serving has really helped.
And, you know, this brings up something else. I feel like heroes have been redefined again.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, at
9/11,
it's like firemen went to a whole new level.
Yeah.
And now it's like truck drivers have gone to a new level.
Yes.
Grocery store clerks have gone to a whole new level. It's like, and what I love about that is that's how the Father has seen every vocation all along. He never prioritized like, oh, you guys are in vocational ministry, so
that's
you're
right.
up here, and then there's the guy who works at Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Right now, the Taco Bell dude is the hero.
Yes.
It's like, you know what
if
I mean?
He's not there, we don't eat. I mean, that's our home.
But the Father has always seen every one of us that way, and now we have this opportunity to value each other like never before.
Boy, that's really true. That's really true. Deb was reminding me of a verse this morning that goes along with this idea of peace. Jeremiah 29:7 says, "Seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be captive and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace." So pray for the city that you're being held captive in. We're in, in somewhat of a captivity in this time, and instead of allowing that captivity to captivate us in the wrong way, but start praying for the peace of our city, of our nation, of the world, and for in its peace we will have peace. There's a part of that. It's interesting that those are the verses just before Jeremiah 29:11 that everybody knows. For I know the thoughts I have for you, thoughts for peace and thoughts for hope and not destruction. So it's an interesting time for us as believers to really stand in those places, even at times when there's swirl going on in our own lives.
Yeah.
Because that's normal. That's normal stuff, either from the enemy, from the circumstances, from internal stuff, that we still have to deal with those things. But it's choosing in those moments that we're going to choose peace. We're going to take the peace of the Lord that does pass understanding, that the world's not going to understand. They might not understand it, but they're going to look for it.
Yeah.
They want it.
And we've already mentioned that this is difficult for extroverts right now to be isolated like this. It's also difficult for people who process spiritual information through their senses or their feelings. And that's a, you know, that's an awesome way to receive information. Hebrews 5:14 talks about strong food is for the mature who through practice have trained their senses to discern good and evil. But if you're primarily a feeler or a sensor, you can be going crazy right now because you're feeling the uncertainty of economies, the uncertainty of family conflict, of all these kind of things. And I just want to say that, again, is an opportunity to retreat in to the kingdom of God within you, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. But if you feel like you're going crazy right now and you don't know why, it's probably because you're picking up the fear that's in the atmosphere of the world. Yeah. And you need to just, hey, center yourself in Jesus and his kingdom right now of righteousness, of peace, of joy in the Holy Spirit, of his wisdom and and his counsel, and then live from there and begin to push that out into the atmosphere around you. It's another way to be a peace carrier, to be a hope carrier.
Hey, guys, once again, if you have any questions, go ahead and put them in the comments when you're watching on Facebook or YouTube. We're looking at the questions. And then would you tag somebody in the comments or share this with somebody who would be blessed by this conversation about finding thriving in times of uncertainty? So would you guys go ahead and do that for us? And we have some amazing questions beginning to come in.
Yeah. Do you want to throw some out?
Yeah. So here's one. Now, that was interesting. It says, Chris Valentin and other prophetic voices have mentioned this time as a time of reset. Some others have talked about 2 Corinthians 7:14 and praying prayers of repentance on behalf of our nation. Do you believe we should be doing the same, or should we be praying in a repented manner as the body? Anybody have any insight on that?
This has huge theological ramifications, and I don't really want to get into the theological gymnastics of everything. As far as, you know, the role of repentance for new creation and all that kind of stuff. But I will say that the word repent is the word metanoia, which means a mindset change. So that's universal, no matter where your theology is. Like, I personally think that to abandon repentance, as in turning from sin and turning from where we've been wrong and where we've hurt, I think is a huge mistake. But at the same time, if we embrace the seed of what repentance truly is, of metanoia, a mind shift and a kingdom mind shift, I think there's never been a better time to embrace the reality of Matthew 6. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Because who can add 1 hour to their day through worry and anxiety about your food, about your job, about your home? I mean, that scripture was written for such a time as this. So repentance is really letting go of your old sense of how provision worked and centering yourself in a kingdom reality of, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and look for the addition of the provision or the abundance that the Lord has promised in Scripture. So I'm just saying that that's a form of repentance as well, is this huge mind shift, this paradigm shift into another way. So let's allow everybody to express repentance in the way that the Lord is speaking to them.
That's good.
You know? Yeah, I like that. I think for me personally, there has been some points where I've recognized not sin, but neglect in the way I've operated in this season that has caused me to get on my knees and say, God, I repent of that.
Yes.
That neglectfulness in my life, and that has to change.
Yeah.
That is the turning. It is a mindset, and at the same time, it's a repentance for actions that were not where they should have been.
Absolutely. Godly sorrow works repentance.
Exactly.
So there is a sorrow element in it, and there is a turning from something, but there also has to be a turning to something. And I think a lot of people that really stress repentance, they talk about turning from something, but don't give us good targets to turn to. And displacement is the strongest form of spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
We know from Scripture that if you even get rid of a demon, but don't fill the house with Holy Spirit, you can end up seven times worse than you were before.
Yeah.
So it's not just repentance from something, but repentance to something that makes the difference.
Well, even from a science, you know, I love neuroscience and how the brain works. And it says that your brain is constantly creating and updating a set of rules of how to predict your world and how your world works during times of uncertainty. And they said that's what kind of begins to cause the body to break down. But they say the breakthrough for that is that your brain has to begin to create a new set of rules or a new mindset.
Yeah.
And I think this is interesting. You're talking about this because in times of uncertainty, this is the upgrade for repentance in the form of creating new mindsets that get us out of our stinking thinking.
It's the theater of the mind. Yep. It's like, are you playing a disaster movie right now?
Right.
Are you playing a heartbreak movie right now? Or are you playing a hero movie where, hey, things might look tough, but you know you're going to overcome better in the end?
Yeah.
It's the kingdom of God is always a victory movie. Yeah. I mean, it always is.
Yeah.
And so if that's not the movie that's playing in the theater of your mind, then it requires a repentance. Yeah. It requires a mind shift.
Yeah.
And literally, your brain is designed as a predictive machine. Your brain is meant to be prophetic. It gathers all of what you believe and all of what you've experienced and all the data around you, and it predicts what's going to happen. So you've got to add kingdom data to that to come up with the right movie.
Yeah.
You know what's really been ministering to me is I've been just studying the life of Elijah right now during the time of the greatest fear that was put on him by Jezebel. Mm. And just go reading that, that scripture. And I'm finding out there is a real practical process there for us right now during times of fear. When we feel fear in our body is the fight or flight. He ran, and the biggest mistake he made was running away from his servant, leaving his community.
Mm.
You know, he put himself in a time of loneliness.
Mm.
He isolated himself, and fear wants to get you isolated. But yet God still came to him, and three things happened. Number one, he refreshed him.
Yeah.
And so there's a practical. He just ate. Sometimes you just got to eat a good meal, get a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very practical. It just refreshed him constantly. Then he reminded him. He reminded him who he was.
Yeah.
And I believe this is a time where God wants to remind, because out of that reminding, there was a recommissioning. And I want to propose that right now, in this time, there's a recommissioning happening, where God is recommissioning new destiny, new assignments, new way of doing things. And I feel like we were created to thrive in this time. Our spiritual DNA and inheritance and ancestry, every time the church rose up, it was in times of chaos. It was in times of being overwhelmed. Like this, we were created for this moment. This is history for us.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm going to start running around this room right now. I think it's going to come on me, Paris.
Well, amen. Yeah, as you did.
Because I get excited about...
You got plenty of space.
We got lots of space. I'm not so excited about what's happening to people. I mean, there's a compassion.
Exactly.
So it's not being insensitive.
No. Yeah.
But at the same time, we were born for this.
That's it. That's
we
right
were
there.
Created for this moment, and fear is trying to blind us, and certainty is trying to blind us from who we really are. And that fear, you know, it paralyzes. I've dealt with it over the last couple of weeks. To just transparent, like there are different times where fear has gripped me in the night. Whether it's fear of finances, how's money going to come in as an attorney? You know, all these different fears. You know, taking care of the family, they grip you.
Yeah.
But if I can't move past that, I know this in times, that's why Elijah's been good for me, because I realize, you know, right now it's those times I have to reach out.
Yeah.
I can't leave my community. I can't leave those who are surrounding me that I need to attach to in this moment, because it's in that community many times they remind you who you are.
That's awesome.
Yeah, really
What's the
true.
Third thing?
Recommission. So recommission. there was a refreshing, a remembrance, and then a recommissioning.
That's
so God
so
reminded
good.
Him.
You know, the refresh I think is important too, because the word recreation comes from recreate, and some people are just vegging, and you're wondering why you're not being refreshed.
Yeah,
it's like you have to. Recreation is recreating. It's something that restores and resets who you are and what you do. And so you have to find ways not just to veg. And by the way, I love to veg. Like, veg, it can be a part of refreshing, and it can be a part of recreating.
Sure.
So I'm not speaking against that. But if all you're doing is laying on the couch and watching, you know, this or just doing something that doesn't actually better you, you won't come out of it refreshed.
Yeah.
You know, so we have such a wrong idea of resting, I think, and of refreshing sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, you said, you know, when's the last time you did something for the first time?
Yeah.
And I think this is a really great season to activate that in yourself is, when's the last time you did something for the first time? And this is a great season to do something new and try something new.
Yeah,
totally. I've been breaking out my instruments lately.
I noticed that.
Just my world instruments, because it's one of the ways that I recreate, that I refresh. When I do it, I feel like I'm touching the world in a way, that I'm connecting with my global friends around the world. But also I'm letting out that musical side of me. And, you know, as far as practical value, it doesn't have any practical value in the estimate of, function.
Sure.
But as far as recreational value of recreating, refreshing, it's super restorative to me. And that's one of the things that refreshes me.
I love that because I know the way me and Des, my wife, how we connect to God is totally different. And one of the things I love is that this is a discovery right now, because many times when you do a creative act, I mean, God's first aspect of revealing his nature to humanity was as creator, Elohim.
Yep.
And so we fail to realize that sometimes doing something creative actually could be the breakthrough. We begin to recognize God's voice.
Yeah.
I know Des has modeled that so well. Like she'll, when she's needing breakthrough, what she'll do, she'll just do something creative, whether it's, you know, doing something around the house, setting up a new, you know, helping create a studio, just something creative. And it's in those moments as she's, you know, manifesting the creative nature of God inside of her, it connects her to God in such a way where she begins to hear so clearly. And I love that, because I think that's part of the things that we don't realize is getting outside the box of how we can create with God and actually connect with him.
Well, right, you should live in my house right now.
It's very recreative.
Oh, my goodness. Everything's being recreated. I woke up this morning at 6 o'clock. She's downstairs, and she's repainting a piece of furniture and remaking it into something else.
Because
she has to be doing something.
Have you guys ever experienced a thing where you come home and all the furniture's been moved?
Yes.
And you're like, how can you not get the jar off the peanut butter, but you can move furniture all by yourself? Like,
I tell you what, when we were first married,
it's like superhuman strength for furniture.
When we first came home, when we first were married, I walked home and I sat down and the chair was missing. And I ended up on the floor.
Oh my word.
That's my house. That's a little
bit of my digressed.
House.
We have, but that's great.
It's real life.
It's real life. One of the questions, since we're moving a little bit the other way, but to keep kind of going that way, is people are asking about your shoes, Dano.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I love shoes, so those are amazing shoes. So they're asking about your shoes since they can see them now on the stage. So
my daughter bought these shoes for me.
They're awesome.
She's a shoe freak. As a matter of fact, she's an admirer of your shoe collection. She talks about how cool your shoes are. I have like four pairs of shoes, you know, so I'm not one of you two. But she bought me these shoes, and it has the continents of the world on it, which I love. And it just reminds me kind of my destiny that I'm meant to be a world changer, a culture creator, that
that's
every
good.
Place my foot shall tread, the Lord has given me authority in.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So. Well, we are we're over time already, but we're going to run a little bit longer, if you guys don't mind, and just chat a little bit more. And so send some more questions if you have them. We're having fun. I hope you are too.
There is the Zoom
prayer rooms.
Prayer rooms are open now.
Yeah.
So those are on the screen there, where you can join those if you need prayer for anything.
How do
healing.
They do that, Ryan? What's
they just go onto Zoom and then put in the meeting ID code there, and then you
and they that's
get
on
into,
the screen. They
that's
can
on the
that
screen right now, and it's also in the comments.
Yeah, and what'll make that better, you guys, if you turn on your camera and your mic, that'll give you a better Zoom experience. So a lot of people are discovering this technology too. But right now, we believe, you know, the first song of the day was, I believe in you, you're the God of miracles. And we want to agree with you for miracles today. So,
And I think that kind of rolls into one of the questions that just came up is, how do you think church, both locally, nationally, and globally, will be going to be different as we come out of this?
Well, that's a big question.
I mean, we're doing Zoom calls, healing Zoom calls. I mean, it
tells you right there what could be different. I think Dan said earlier, it's going to be different for everybody, depending on your culture and where you are in the world and that kind of thing. But I know for here, some of the ways we're learning now about how to communicate differently will be in place as we move forward, for sure.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. I think this is that blank slate we get to write on. You know, let's be honest. I think there's a frustration with everybody on how we've been doing church. And not in the bad way, but in the sense of there's got to be more than our routine of church, you know. And there's got to be a greater expression. And the thing that I would say to everybody that's listening, because we have quite a international group today online with us, is that just be the kind of church you want to go to. Like, don't wait for your church to define you. Yeah. We are the church. So why don't you just be the kind of church you want to go to and let that infect, you know, the structure of church. I think that's a good starting place.
You know, there's a realness to this because I've talked to, you know, we've all been doing a lot of Zooms and I've several leaders have told me, just admitted this, that they miss people, but they don't miss church.
Mm.
And I'm like, the reality of that. And so I, you know, I want to engage that conversation. What do you mean by that? And what I'm understanding is that they miss the gathering of the people, but they're realizing some of the structure that we've had is either outdated or God wants to do something different. So it's not like they don't like church. I mean, this has happened just last week, four different ones.
Yeah.
But I think it's leading us to a discovery and a discussion. Discovery is not a bad thing.
Right.
Like, I think sometimes in Christianity, we think discovery, like, you know, curiosity and discovery in the context of church many times is a bad thing, but it's actually not. It's actually going on a journey with the Lord to see what's working. And so to be able to answer that question, I think it's too hard because, like Daniel said, it's cultural. I think what's working in your culture, in your region, where you're at, that is really going to take off. And I think that's the problem many times we see in church planning. Is that, you know, there's a book put out and everybody buys the book or buys the e-course and it's just for that culture. But then you take it on, it doesn't work for you.
Yeah, it's true.
Because there is always the system and the structure of church. And then there's the culture of the kingdom, you know, and there is a difference. And so we have the opportunity to seek first the kingdom right now and then to be the church.
Yeah.
And I think I remember Rod Anderson said that sometimes a cloud of favor and authority is awaiting a declaration of responsibility. Mm. And until you take responsibility for what church is like, nothing changes.
Yeah.
Because we are the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it is that taking personal responsibility and saying, this is what I'm going to be as an expression of church in the world. That affect structure that you know, here we don't really like to create structures and then find volunteers to fill our structures. We like to find people with passion and empower their passion, create a structure around it, structure around the life. You know, it's a goal. We don't always do it well, but it is our desire and our goal to build that way. And so that really is kind of framing around life, not just creating a structure and trying to breathe life into it.
Yeah, well, this pandemic and being sheltered in place and all that has kind of ripped the mask off of some things. And
so many things,
and, you know, ripped
not
open
just
territories.
Yeah,
just ripped open territories where you just go, oh, wait a minute, there's a bigger world out there than what we've known as church. And I think that's exciting to me.
True.
And I think the other thing that we're seeing right now is that, you know, the purpose of media was always to be a revealer to point to truth. And in the day we live in right now, you can't really trust media. Let me just be honest. You know, a lot of the media is out there. There's agendas. And so what I'm seeing, even some of the dialogue, is that people are getting awakened to actually begin to seek truth out for themselves, which I think is one of the greatest things that could happen right now on a generation, is that they begin to get hungry for truth and seek it out and not just what they're force fed. Mm-hmm. So it's getting them to ask questions. I think that's one of the greatest things. I think I'm seeing the theme up here, and a lot of it is that, you know, we got to start asking the right questions.
Yeah.
We have to go on the discovery to ask the right questions, and that's not wrong, but long as it leads us to truth, you know, getting back to the place where we're actually going on a journey to discover what truth is.
I want to tweak something about the media statement because I totally agree on one side. But you know how we can say we're against religion, and what we mean by that is we're actually against the spirit of religion.
The spirit of it.
Yep. Or it can sound like we're against a denomination, but we're actually against denominationalism, that dividing around certain truths. I think it's important too, when we talk about media, we're actually talking about a spirit that is in the media that is pushing an agenda and bringing conflicting and confusing information, because we have some amazing people that work in media. We have some people that are zealous to present truth and to serve that area. And
honestly, so we are now part of the media.
Totally.
Yes. We've become that. You know,
everybody, because we're broadcasting from home.
Exactly.
You know?
The days of making fun of the preacher on television.
Yeah.
Man, it's come back.
Everybody's
to bite us,
a television evangelist
everybody
right now.
Is now.
You know, another question
Ryan,
was.
I'm sorry. You were looking like
Oh, just. Yeah, I mean, as a staff, this is a bit huge question amongst the staff right now of when we do get to come back and be around people. What does that look like for us? And how do we do things, not just for the sake of doing it differently, but how do we do it more effective? How do we actually have better connection when we do come together? And so this is a major question that we're all going after and realizing that there are probably other answers out there for us. And how do we connect better as a family and as a community?
Yep.
That's great.
That's good. You know, one of the good other questions that's coming in is, you know, 26 million people unemployed, have no money, and have fear. This is the reality that most people are living right now. What are some yep. things or just some discussions that we can do as a church to be a light in that area?
Did you want to speak to it? I'd like to say a few things here. I think, first of all, as soon as the home sheltering is over, there is going to be, you know, people are going to want to get out. Yeah. And a lot of jobs are going to come back.
Yeah,
like a lot of jobs are shut down just out of the inability to function or the legality of function. So I think that number, like when we put that statistic in front of us, it looks like a giant or a
huge
walled city.
Yeah.
But the truth is that once society reopens, a lot of these jobs are going to come, a huge amount of those jobs are going to come open again. And so that number isn't entirely real. It's real in terms of suffering. And again, we are praying provision over your life. And that really brings us to the second thing that I wanted to say. First of all, like, okay, don't look at the giant because it's not all real. Okay. Look at the reality. There will be lost jobs for sure. There will be businesses that aren't able to reopen because of what they've suffered. And that's a very real reality. But the second thing is this. There is such an opportunity right now to get off the throne as Jehovah Jireh in your life. Because listen, guys, we all feel, and single moms feel this in particular too, but we guys all feel the responsibility to provide for their family. It's just something actually that I believe the Lord has built into us. And yet at the same time, it's a place we must abdicate as a throne to
That's
say,
good.
Lord, you are the provider of my life, not me. And my job is one stream of provision. It's not the whole river. It's just one stream of provision that you have supplied and given me that's an expression of you being Jehovah Jireh on the throne of my life.
Yeah. That's so powerful, Dan. I've been kind of living in that passage out of Psalms where David said, I would have lost hope or heart if I had not believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living, which is now.
Yep.
And that's a perspective, again, that we have in this time, that we can hold on to that. And David had that. He was looking for the goodness of the Lord.
Yes.
He was looking for that. And he had troubles. I mean, they had problems.
Yeah.
You know, in that time in his life, most of his life, had interesting struggles. But his perspective, his focus, he was focusing on seeing the goodness of God. And when we will find what we look for.
Yes.
And so if we look for the goodness of the Lord, even in difficult situations, we will see the goodness of the Lord. And if we look for hope, if we choose hope, then our reticular activator gets focused on everything hopeful. And that's what we will focus on. And I think that's really important. I've been waking up every morning this week with a song that I have not sung for a long time and has not been a part of, I've not been listening to at all.
Right.
And every single morning, and I can't get rid of it all day long. And by the evening, I'm not thinking about it, but morning, I'm waking up with it again. It's this one. There is no other name like Jesus.
Come on.
There is no other name, you know, like him. And I think that's a position for us in this difficult time for people.
Absolutely.
Is that there's no other name. There's no other name above his name. Joblessness, none of that.
We have a question we throw around in our training seminars in the prophetic. Is the song you wake up with the song that the Lord was singing over you during the night, the Zephaniah 3:17? The Lord in the midst of you is a mighty champion, and he rejoices over you with singing.
Yeah.
And it's like is that the song you wake up with in the morning is the one that the champion was singing over you during the night?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not even a Christian song that you wake up with, but the Lord's not like he's bigger than that. He's got the whole world in his hands, not just Christian music.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's good to say, Lord, is this the song you were singing over me? And what does it mean for my life? Yeah. But that's so cool.
I think even a practical thing we're realizing too is once again, in these times, the power of generosity is needed right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is the practical. I mean, one of the things that we've been doing, sometimes you don't give sometimes out of, I want to word this right. You know, we've given because of our heart of generosity because we have no other option right now. And some of that practically can be is who around you is in lost a job?
Yeah.
I mean, asking this question, who's lost a job? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know if I could say this, but I'm going to. So hopefully you guys will be all right with this. But, we've had a family come over. We've done dinner with them because, you know, they've had a hard time. So I know we're in quarantine, but at the same time, I want to be able to, how can we have, we already have four mouths to feed. So it's kind of hard at times, but you know, it's like, no, we can't afford not to. Just doing some practical things or giving someone a meal. I think use the power of social media. Start a social Facebook group that you could actually ask questions. Who's lost their job? And try to get people together during this time until things are turned around. What can we do practically?
And even if it's not money, you can barter.
Oh, no.
You can barter services. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. And or maybe you were one of the toilet paper hoarders and you could, share a roll in the name of the Lord.
Share
what I mean? Give a cup of water in the name of the Lord. That
before
kind of thing.
The roll is called up yonder.
Exactly.
Right?
Your puns are not lost on me.
You're good.
But but really, I think there is like an aspect of community in the sense of bartering and in the sense of serving that could be rediscovered in modern culture.
That's good.
That there's other places where that culture is really, really rich. You know, there's a cultural shift towards minimalism, which also embraces this idea of living simpler so that each one of us can have a more beneficial, quality of life.
Yeah. Well, I think we're getting close to wrapping this up. Are there any more questions that you guys are finding on social media that we should address? I know we got some others that we haven't addressed, but this has been a lot of fun for us, and I've learned a lot, and I pray that you have too, and it's been good for you. Anything anyone else wants to say before we kind of wrap this up?
We're going to give an altar call for repentance for the toilet paper hoarders.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Anything else? That's one way to end it. Yeah. Anybody else?
Well, maybe we should give a real altar call.
Yeah, maybe we should do that.
And you should be the first one down.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm teasing. I'm totally teasing. But honestly, if you're watching today and you don't know Jesus, then it's hard to have hope without Jesus because he's the Prince of Peace. He's the source of all of our hope up here. This whole talk of kingdom and recreation and all those kind of things, if you're not connected with the Creator, it won't work for you. It honestly won't work for you. Even if you reinvent yourself and recreate yourself in all these awesome ways, you won't have the peace inside that comes from only knowing the Prince of Peace. And so if you're watching today and you don't know him, I want to invite you. The scripture literally says that everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you can experience that salvation. You can experience that new birth. Every one of us started the journey of our spirituality by embracing the need of a Savior. So you are not isolated in this. This is part of all humanity's plight, is to shift from our selfishness and our sinful ways and to embrace the reality of what Christ has done for us. And we really do want to invite you to do that today. And if you need help, you can go on the Zoom rooms because they're not just for healing. They're to pray for your job, to pray for your finances, to even give you a prophetic word of encouragement right now.
That's good.
Or certainly if you need to be born again, then call in while our rooms are still open. They're not going to make a pitch. There's no commercials.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to ask you to sign up for something or to send money or, you know, try to sell you something. It really is just people who want to agree with you in prayer and see a miracle happen. And the scripture says that if two or three agree is touching any one thing, it will be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. So we're believing for miracles online today. We're believing for answers to financial problems and healing of families and salvation of souls. We're believing for that.
Also, you know, we believe that God speaks, and, you know, we also believe in words of knowledge here. And I believe there's an Anthony you're watching today. Several months, you just got out of prison, and you're actually watching this. You actually, it's going to be shared with you, Anthony. And you've been dealing with depression. You've been dealing with how you're going to provide for a family member. Anthony, I just want to let you know that the Lord is about to jump into your life, Anthony. And when you see this, would you message us here, Anthony? Because the Lord, this is your moment, as this was being shared with you, Anthony, that God is about to turn everything around. He's going to take you to a place that neither your education nor your background could have got you, that the Lord is going to begin to open doors for you in such a radical way that you're going to come into a place and position where there will be provision not only for your family and even your two kids, but even more than that. So I just bless you, Anthony, that the Lord is turning things around for you in this season. He's going to draw you so near, that he loves you so much that he'd be willing to stop to meet and to say, hey, this is my son, Anthony, and I'm going to jump right into the middle of his life. So we just bless you, Anthony, in Jesus' name.
That's good. That's a great word, Anthony, and we'd love to hear from you. Contact us. Let us know how that word's affected you. It would be really, really good for us, and I think good for you, too. In just a moment, I want to pray a blessing over you out of Numbers chapter 6. But before I do that, just remind you that you can connect with the mission all during the week. Go on imissionchurch.com, and you can find that there. If you're not part of our email blasts, we'd love to get you connected. That way, we send out something every day, an encouragement every day from the mission. You can do that by going on imissionchurch.com also and connect there. Give us your email address. We will try not to overwhelm you, but right in this season, it's just really good to keep connection going. Yeah. So we're sending something out every day to your email box, and we'd love to do that. And we're going to end today, after I pray this blessing over us, we're going to end with this choir. What do you call that, Dan?
Virtual choir.
Virtual choir that Dan and the team and Bethany and the team put together. it's really fun and just really encouraging and uplifting. We're going to end with that here in just a moment. They're going to play it as soon as I finish this prayer. So let me just pray for you. This prayer that was designated by God that the priest would pray this over the people, and said after they would pray that prayer that God would aim his blessing at those that were prayed for. Woo. So as we pray this prayer, this is putting a target on you as you receive that blessing. You receive that blessing. It paints a target on you for the blessings of the Lord. And we are praying for your progress. We're praying for your jobs. We're praying for you to succeed in this time. We're praying for you to advance in this time. And we know that there are people who are facing very, very difficult situations.
Yes.
But we just declare to you that his name is above every other name.
Oh, yeah.
And as you receive this blessing, you're going to be marked for a blessing by God. And we want to hear those testimonies too over the weeks
Absolutely.
To come.
Yeah.
All right, so let me pray for you. And this is the prayer. The Lord bless you and watch, guard, and keep you.
Yes.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you.
Yes.
And enlighten you and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to you. The Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you and give you peace, tranquility of heart and life continually. And we pray that in the name of our precious Jesus.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Look forward to seeing you next week. Oh, in 2 weeks, by the way, we're going to have an all-women panel up here on Mother's Day. So get ready for that. We'll see you. Have a great rest of the day.